You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking to Linda Francis. She's talking to me from Warwick, New York. Linda, thanks for being with me today.
Oh, hi. Thank you.
Linda, let's talk about what's happening in your studio right now. What are you painting or working on?
Well, I think I'm best known for drawings because I made many, many drawings and for 10 years only drawing. But in the last another 10 years, I've been only painting because I find them very different. So right now I'm working on two panels. They're about, I guess, 95 inches tall by four or five feet wide, each one. And also a bunch of smaller ones, a bunch of squares, actually, a bunch of small three-foot squares. And I'm doing that. It sort of goes along with what I have been doing. It's not so much different. But it's basically talking about geometric systems in space, but only insofar as that sort of so far as I see those things as philosophical issues. So I'm working on, I guess you might think it's kind of, my explanation might be pretty didactic, but I don't sort of want the work to look that way, and it doesn't exactly. What you do see is you see my thinking, and I've always been interested in that as a major aesthetic experience, as opposed to something that's more, more pulled apart, like aesthetics, apropos thought, apropos the body, and all that kind of thing. I don't really subscribe to any of that, and I'm not somebody who's interested in identity politics either. And I am very interested in abstraction, always have been. So
let's talk about abstraction. You said you see this as a philosophical issue that you're working on. The current works, which are both very large and some medium sized. So let's get into that a little more. What do you mean by seeing them as a philosophical issue? And because I'd like to talk a little bit about how you're thinking about these.
Okay. I have been interested in looking at, when I first started working, I sort of set up a problem for myself in which I took all the different parts. I started working in the 60s, okay? So this is a particular problem for that time. I think it's very much a part of that time. But I sort of made an equation between all the parts of making a painting or a drawing or an image or a non-image and figured out a sort of system that I had to adhere to sort of see what kind of things I would do if I had a system that I could only adhere to. In other words, what would it look like in terms of what my marks would be, what my drawing would look like? So I did that. It was apparently very successful because people didn't do that at the time.
And by did that, you mean you set up a set of rules for yourself?
Yeah, I set up some very simple rules. And I just drew these lines, and I did them on walls as well as on large, big sheets of fiberglass, actually, because I was trying to get as close to a flat surface as I could. So I did that, and yet the thing is, it wasn't done in the spirit of formalism, really. What it was done is in the spirit of me trying to figure out what the heck I was doing or what I would do. Mm. It was very, very beginning. And consequently, I'd always been interested in the sciences, and actually at one point in my life I started to study them and then made some art and then stopped. But anyway, I was at the beach and I had a book with me on the night sky because I thought to myself, it's stupid. You're so interested. I've always been interested in astronomy. You're so interested in it, and you don't even know, one constellation from the other. So I had this book with me, and I'm looking, trying to figure them out. And then the last page of the book had a picture of of the spiral galaxy in Andromeda. At that time, it was called the Great Nebula in Andromeda. And I looked at that, and I thought, oh, my God, that is what I'm doing. You know, that was what I was doing in this project that I had. So from that time on, I sort of felt like I had the set there of the kind of thing that I wanted to show people. I mean, I looked at my work as something to put together and to show people, okay? So, and I don't mean that in a narcissistic way. Any case. So anyway, and that's when I first realized, of course, that the most important structure going in terms of the body and the mind is a spiral, and of course in history as well. And it just everything sort of exploded in my mind as to the unity of geometry. I realized that non-Euclidean geometry was what I was interested in. That's the geometry of space. That's the geometry of time. Anyway, this was in 69 or 70, something like that. And then I just started working, trying to, or maybe it was a little later than that. Maybe it was in the middle 60s. Anyway, so I started to work, and I started to do big drawings. And I've been doing that ever since, really. I've been taking the kinds of ideas that come from chance and that come from sciences, and I've been sort of implying them in what I do. It's not, in no ways does what I do illustrate anything. It doesn't illustrate anything. But what it does do is it talks about connections. There are connections between parts and morphs from one part to the other. And the other thing about it is that basically I really, really, why I said I think it's important is because people don't realize that the kinds of things that are, for example, in quantum mechanics, or maybe they do now, or in theoretical physics, those kind of theoretical ideas are actually they're ideas about ourselves and ideas about the structure of society. But people would read my work, and still do, as work about science, which is really not exactly what it is. It's like looking at somebody who makes figurative work and say, that's work about figures. I mean, you know, that's how sort of flat people can talk about it. But actually, all you have to do is kind of extrapolate from what you see to how you think, and to put those things together and realize that I am really making sort of sometimes jokes on what we think is true, and sometimes showing things that actually are false, you know, or could be false, or are false in the way we think, or are actually kind of hypothetical ideas. There's a painting that everybody seems to love that I did maybe it was 10 years ago, and it was called Neutron Star. And it was really a funny thing that I thought of all at once. That was, one, a very simple idea of how a neutron star becomes a neutron star, and two, how that is kind of an impossible situation, but is the way that we think. In other words, it's the kind of an impasse that our minds go through, or the impasse that we need to face, which we don't face, because we can't get along if we look at things that are improbable or actually antithetical to our systems of thinking, social systems of thinking. So basically it was very simple. It was four circles. They collapsed and into something close to a square, and then they opened out, and this was all in a kind of a Pythagorean number progression, and then they opened out into something where the circles became very small or smaller compared to the others, and very open, and it kind of went around in a round, even though it wasn't set up that way. So, but that was the idea. So the idea was, okay, thinking gets closed, thinking gets opened, and they don't seem to resolve in any way. And it seems to be, it's just in a funny way, people can look at it and think about it decoratively, and that's very funny. I find it very amusing. But it's the same idea about thinking of decorative things, like, for example, you would look at a Greek key and you would see that that was decorative. And yet, that's a spiral, and it's the most fantastic structure, I think, in the world, so, or in the universe. Anyway, so how's that?
That's good. And so a lot of these patterns that we're talking about and these in what you're discussing in terms of the thinking behind your work is also something that, because it sounds like that initial, when you were reading and in the universe, almost kind of an awakening you had, it sounds like it's also about the interconnection of everything, of our bodies, of patterns that we see everywhere, and that's both mathematical and relates to physics as well, right? Which, of course, books have been written on that, and these endless relationships that for some people is almost kind of an ecstatic experience, seeing that kind of perfection or at least a recurrence of patterns.
Yeah, well, for me, it was an ecstatic experience. And I have to say that experience and the work that I did for at least 15 years or more after that had nothing to do with computers, because they weren't in common use at the time. Hmm. And so the only photographs that I had of, I started to do a lot of things where I was sort of taking small photographs from the Hubble Atlas of Galaxies or Lick Observatory, which were the only ones that existed at the time, and they were small. And I was actually recreating simply the forms that I saw in there. So I would take a structure, I'd look at the photograph, and just like somebody tries to copy something, tries to make a drawing of a figure, I would try to copy how it worked. How did it get like that? So I used negative eraser. I used eraser a lot, and most people didn't do that at the time. And I used the chalks that I used, just simple chalks. I don't get very complicated about my materials. And I used simple chalk as masks. So I would make these masses, and then I would carve them out with an eraser. And the ecstasy, you're right about that. I mean, knowing how it worked and seeing it put together, seeing the force and the mass put together in making form, to me was just like, it was art. It was everything that we do. And I don't, you know, in a certain way, I don't actually subscribe to art being different than other things. Yes, in some ways it is, in other ways it isn't. In other words, I see humanity is kind of limited by our own structures, I guess you might say, and our own, I don't know about, I'm not going to get into, you know, spiritual questions about mind, because it doesn't interest me. But I will say the kind of work that does interest me, for example, was when I read, because I can't do any of the math and don't understand it, but when I read the theory, Kurt Gödel's theory of incompleteness, and, you know, of course, stemming from Wittgenstein's Blue Books, where he said, uh-oh, you know, my first work is not true, you know, that when I started to realize that people are making statements in language that aren't true or that they think are true, and that you have great thinkers like Gödel in math who said, well, it's only true if you are inside the system. As soon as you put something outside the system in it, it becomes false. And that's actually what I'm interested in. So I would show something as being endless or being true or being false, but actually being a conundrum, being something that never would be finished. So that's
And to talk about your palette a little bit too, which is, I guess, part of some of the rules you set up for yourself, it seems that it's predominantly black and white. Is that still the case?
And
that the case?
Yeah, it's pretty black and white. But it isn't, I mean, they're very specific, blacks, grays, whites. There are sometimes, I pick out things in just pure color. So, you know, a yellow or red or something like that, green in one case. And it's because I never saw the kind of things that I'm thinking about don't have colors attached to them. You know, they in fact may somewhere, but not in terms of what I can see. So they are basically things that are not visible. Nothing that I do is visible. Now, of course, I did a whole bunch of things fairly recently, I guess in 2013, where I went right down to the smallest computer image that you could get before the computer went black. In other words, the smallest binary that I could get. And I made a whole bunch of so-called paintings. They were prints that looked like paintings of that. And I don't know why I'm telling you about that, because I'm telling you about them because I saw that as also a similar kind of truth that doesn't tell you anything. In other words, it tells you about what you're doing. It doesn't tell you how you're doing it, what it means. Or rather, it tells you how you're doing it, but not really what you're doing. It doesn't tell you what it means, and people ascribe meaning to it. For example, I will sit here in front of a computer, and I can make drawings on the computer now, and people will ascribe meaning to that. Well, the only meaning to that is that it exists all around us. It doesn't mean that one has to think about what it really means. What does it mean for us? And I think the best people are thinking about it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff now that people are throwing around. What does it mean for humanity? And then people are so, they're so easy to go right into whatever the new thing is. They're so excited by things that are new. And they want to go, they want to say, yeah, okay, you know, make me into a robot. I'm very happy to be a robot. I'm not very sure that, I think it's the unthinking quality of society that's really a problem, really a big problem.
So let's talk a little bit about that, perhaps through the lens of the books you're reading. What books are you reading now?
Well, I just started two books in particular, and I can't tell you a lot about them, unfortunately, but I can tell you why I picked them. One is Fernando Pessoa's The Book of Disquiet, and the other one was Carl Ove Nausgaard's, you know, My Struggle. And I can't say the Nausgaard, I mean, I've just sort of browsed, you know, between the covers, and I'm starting to read the Pessoa for sure. I didn't read that when I was younger, and so I'm glad to read it now. But both things, to me, are things which are indicative of an extreme case of narcissism. Both things. In the Nausgaard part, it bores me to death, really, I have to say. And occasionally it becomes interesting as you sort of fall into the depth of this person's identity. But I would say that 90% of what I've read so far is exactly what's wrong with everything. To see the world in terms of, I can say, okay, we are, you know, I can say that in my work, we are this kind of organization, or we are this kind of geometry, or not geometry, or progression of thought, or whatever. I would say something like that in my work, but he's saying we are this language and this quotidian, this daily quotidian life, and thought and constant rumination, but I don't think that that's actually true. I think, yes, it is true in some way, but I think it's actually a veil. It's a veil over reality and makes things, to me, very, very complex in terms of people and how they're going to survive. Anyway, the Pessoa is interesting because the man is, what I see from it is, of course, I know some of his writing anyway, but the man is more, There is a question of what sincerity is, and that's an interesting problem. On one hand, one hates to think of what sincerity is, and one thinks maybe there is no sincerity. But then, on the other hand, is there authenticity? Is that the same as sincerity? You know, there are these questions about both about this kind of writing, about one's subjective reality. And Pessoa's is really interesting, The Book of Disquiet, because it is diaristic also. Both of these things are diaristic. It is diaristic also, and it also tries to not say anything factual in it, which I think is actually very funny, and I think it's a great idea. And it's very funny, you know, considering that facts are, you know, figments, I think. So how's that?
That's good, that's good. And so the idea of sincerity also is something that is affecting all of us now, right? And the world at large. I mean, Is that also partly why you're delving into that, because of your views on the idea of sincerity and what that means, or is that a little far afield?
No, that isn't far afield. That's really true. And that all relates to what idealism is. I mean, doesn't it? I mean, if you can put all those three things, you can say authentic, ideal, sincere. You can put those three things together. Now, what we're living in right now is the diametric opposite of that, in a certain way. Perhaps it's not completely opposite, but it's one part. It's a part of. It's almost as though we talk about the politic as being split, you know, in half, or split in two parts. And you know, basically, you can talk about the mind that way too. That's the way people have always thought about it. That body and mind are different. That people are different than animals, and so on and so forth. And we're finding out now that all of that is a lie. It's all not true. Because what happens is when you wind up with something so clearly the product of the anomalies in that situation, and you know, so clearly late capital, which is really probably one of the worst things possible, and you see what's happened, when you see that, you say, wait a minute. These people are writing about their identity. They're precious about who they are. They're incredibly feeling. They're incredibly this, you know, they talk about sincerity. I don't think any of that's right. So I don't think any of it is real. And I think that we have to look at ideals and say sincerity is not idealism. And we have to see we have to take each word and stop thinking about words as having actual meaning. I mean, in that sense, I'm a real throwback to linguists, you know, is that I don't think that the things we ascribe, the meanings we ascribe socially to words are you know, pretty much honest. They're not true, and they're not honest. But, I mean, that's, you know, every great philosopher, I think, in the last of our century has come up with that.
So. Yeah, I think that's important that you mentioned that and that we talked about that. Linda, I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure talking about your work and your thinking around those subjects. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you very much for doing it.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.